Vincent T. Bugliosi, Jr., maybe best known, best remembered, for prosecuting Charles Manson and the members of his infamous family after the Tate-LaBianca murders of 1969. Bugliosi wrote a book about the Manson case called Helter Skelter. It remains one of the all-time best-selling books about true crime. But in 2007, Bugliosi published another book that he says was even more significant than Helter Skelter. After 21 years of meticulous research, Vince Bugliosi, one of the nation's most prominent prosecuting attorneys, published an 1,100-page book on the John F. Kennedy assassination. And his conclusion was that there was no conspiracy, no cover-up, no secret plot. Lee Harvey Oswald was the only gunman, and he acted alone. I talked with Vince Bugliosi about that book 12 years ago this week.
We can sum it up by saying Lee Harvey Oswald killed President Kennedy and he acted alone. What needed 1,100 pages to explain?
Yeah, well, this is a very simple case at its core. And within hours of the assassination in Dallas, local Dallas law enforcement, I'm referring to the Dallas PD, Dallas Sheriff, local office of the FBI, it was obvious to them that Oswald had killed Kennedy and acted alone. Simple case at its core. That's one reality, but there's another reality. Because of the unceasing and fanatical obsession of literally, and I'm not exaggerating here, thousands upon thousands of Warren Commission critics and conspiracy theorists who have investigated this case, every conceivable aspect of it for close to 44 years, and have made hundreds upon hundreds of allegations, this simple case, and it remains simple to this day, has been transformed into its present state, and that present state is another reality. It's the most complex murder case by far in world history. No other murder case even remotely comes close to this. Just to give you an example, in manuscript form, just dealing with one endnote, I'm not talking about the main text now, just an endnote on acoustics. It was 120 pages with 60 footnotes. And yet we're dealing with a simple case that it's become complex in this other form.
Well, maybe you've hit on something. If this were to happen, heaven forbid, in 2007, do we have the kind of forensic tools today that would solve it quickly and definitively? As opposed, I mean, they were doing the best they could in 1963, but they didn't have what we have today.
It was solved conclusively by the Warren Commission on September 24th, 1964, in their report. I'm a very critical person. I'd find fault with a beautiful morning sunrise. But I'm telling you, the Warren Commission did an extremely meticulous, comprehensive investigation of this case. When people say they did not do a good job, all they're telling me is that they haven't read the Warren Report. Certainly they haven't read the 26 volumes that support the Warren Report. No, they did a good job. The FBI, the investigative arm of the Warren Commission, conducted 25,000 interviews. No, completely comprehensive. They did a good job. But what's happened? Well, when they closed shop on September 24th, 1964, they went out of business. There was no one to respond to all these conspiracy theorists. So the conspiracy theorists have dominated the stage for close to 44 years, and they've convinced the majority of Americans now that the Warren Commission was just a cover-up. And it's just nonsense. I mean, these were reputable, honorable people. They wouldn't want their legacy to be accessories after the fact of murder, that they covered up the truth in the Kennedy assassination. It's all nonsense.
But now it's become a folk legend, and the folk legend has eclipsed the truth.
I know. Well, one example among many. 99.9% of the American people, Bill, believe that the Warren Commission sealed the records for 75 years. And why do you seal records? Well, obviously you're trying to conceal something. What are you trying to conceal? I guess a conspiracy in the assassination. They didn't seal the records. I have the cover letter that Earl Warren sent to the National Archives, sending all the documents over to them. The cover letter's in the book, where he said, "I'm hoping for the fullest disclosure possible to the American people of these records." But the National Archives had an old rule that they seal the records for 75 years when they get documents from a national investigative body. That rule, by the way, has been eviscerated by the Freedom of Information Act in 1967 and the JFK Act in 1992, but it had nothing to do with the Warren Commission. It was an old National Archives rule, and yet 99.9% of the American people think that the Warren Commission sealed the records.
You talk about things happening even as we speak. I'm sure you saw the article yesterday. The former head of the FBI Metallurgy Lab, who casts doubt now on the ability to detect whether Oswald fired all the bullets because the lead content analysis is flawed somehow.
Yeah, but you see how silly this is. This is perfect, what you just told me, perfect evidence that this is all nonsense. What this fellow said, it's in my book. This came out a year and a half ago. It's an old, old story. It's just another agent trying to get in the news. This is an old story. What he's talking about is the nuclear reactor takes these fragments and tries to determine the elemental content of them, the amount of antimony, silver, copper, etc. And they came to the conclusion that just because there's a similarity of the content of these fragments does not necessarily mean that they came from the same batch. But that was simply corroborative of the single bullet theory. We don't need neutron activation analysis to come up with a single bullet theory. The evidence is indisputable. When that bullet went through Kennedy, it had nowhere else to go except to hit Connally. Now, what have the conspiracy theorists done? In their sketches, they've put Connally in the limousine directly in front of Kennedy. But he wasn't directly in front of Kennedy. He was seated in a jump seat a half a foot in. Now, if you put him directly in front, then what happens? The bullet going through has to make a right turn in midair and then a left turn to hit Connally. But Connally was seated to the left front of Kennedy. This has nothing to do with this nuclear reactor test that we're talking about here. You don't need that. The bullet passing on a straight line through Kennedy had nowhere else to go except to hit Governor Connally. And in London, by the way, when I prosecuted Oswald in 1986, Dr. Cyril Weck testified for the defense. And he talked about the magic bullet making a right turn and a left turn in midair. And I said, well, now, Dr. Weck, now, if this bullet that exited Kennedy's throat on a straight line, you agree, if it didn't hit Connally, why didn't it tear up the interior of the limousine or hit the driver? He says, well, I don't know. I said, well, then apparently you have a magic bullet. Did it zigzag to the left? He says, no, did not zigzag to the left. I said, did it hop, skip, and jump over the car? He said, no. I said, well, what happened to it then? He said, I don't know. So if we're to believe the conspiracy theorists, after that bullet exited Kennedy's throat, it apparently vanished into thin air, vanished without a trace. That's the magic bullet. And yet the conspiracy theorists have tried to convince the American public that the Warren Commission had a magic bullet. Only one group had a magic bullet, and that's the conspiracy theorists. It vanished into thin air.
Vince Bugliosi really disliked the Oliver Stone movie JFK, which, of course, pushed all manner of conspiracy theories.
Oliver Stone, in all deference to him, told one that movie is one continuous lie. I have to say this. He did have the date correct of the assassination. He had the correct victim, the correct location. But other than that, he told one lie after another in this movie. And yet, young kids, 20 million people saw it. Polls showed that 98 out of 100 bought everything he said. I point out in Reclaiming History 53 pieces of evidence that point irresistibly to Lee Harvey Oswald's guilt. And yet Oliver Stone, he only had 3 hours and 8 minutes, so I sympathize with him. He couldn't come up with enough time to put even one of those 53 pieces of evidence pointing towards Oswald's guilt in his movie. But he didn't have time, only 3 hours and 8 minutes. I'm sure many people listening to this show right now, they're positive. They know that Oswald was a part of a conspiracy, or he was framed. He was just a patsy. If they read the book, they're going to go into a room and they're going to be embarrassed. They're not going to want to show their embarrassment to their wife or their children. It's going to be embarrassing to them how wrong they were. Maybe they don't want to read the book. Maybe they're allergic to the truth. They don't want to know the truth. But if they want to know the truth and they read this book, it's going to be embarrassing to them. One person brought up something. They said that they heard that that Lady Bird was behind the assassination. And I said, you know, I've been working on this case for 21 years, and I have to say I haven't heard that. I've heard that LBJ was behind it, but Lady Bird was behind the assassination.
Or what about these people who say, why is Richard Nixon the only one who couldn't remember where he was that day?
Actually, he did remember where he was, and he was in Dallas, believe it or not. He left Love Field at 10 o'clock that morning, a little over an hour before the president arrived from Fort Worth. So he was there that day, but not at the time of the assassination.
I'm Bill Thompson, and now I've heard everything.